You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we are going to read the first, probably 10 or 11 verses here. And then keep your Bibles out. I want to help you tonight. I think this will be one of the most interesting Bible studies that we've had thus far on the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many weeks, probably 10 or 11 weeks, we've been studying the topic of the Holy Spirit. And tonight we're going to hit it again, and I want you to be prepared. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Follow along with me silently there. Then was Jesus, watch this, led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I want you to notice that statement, led of the Spirit, all right? Led of the Spirit, and led of the Spirit of the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. All right, verse number 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And I'm going to stop there for time's sake. Now, you notice there's a statement here, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, Matthew, and then Luke, both in chapter 4, contain the same story. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, it's the same story. And I want you to notice verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, keep your Bibles ready. We're going to use them. There is much said in our world today about feeling led by the Spirit. Now, everybody look at me. I love you, but I'm going to tell you straight and plain just what it is here. You always have those crazy people who go out and kill somebody and say, well, I feel like the Spirit led me to do this. You say, what is that? Insanity. That is not spirituality. You have people who get all what I call spooky in religion. Well, I just feel led by the Spirit to do this. Well, I felt led to go do this. I feel led to do such and such. These people tell you they feel led, but they can't tell you how they're being led. That's the interesting statement. Well, I just feel led. Hang on. The charismatics in the feel-good churches have done more to destroy the doctrine of the Holy Spirit than anything I know. The Holy Spirit of God is just that, the Holy Spirit of God. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is not some crazed idiot spirit that indwells people and make them flip and flop on the ground and start jibber jabbering like they're saying all the motorcycle names backwards. It's not get people up on the platform and slap them in the head and say, be healed, and if not, you didn't have enough faith. That is wrong, and it is not spiritual. I don't care what name they put with it. These people have turned spirituality into a carnival show. Everybody doing okay? They've turned God and being spiritual into emotions and feelings. Now, listen to this very carefully here. It is just like the people who teach repentance for sin is a deep sorrow or feeling and turning away from sin for salvation, which is wrong. Notice the word feeling. It doesn't say that Jesus felt like he should go do something. It says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Does it express any emotion? Does it say he felt such and such a way? Now, like all false doctrine, though, false doctrine takes a pure doctrine and perverts it with terms that are like what should be used. For instance, most all of us are old enough to understand these. There was a day when cool meant not hot. And hot didn't mean looking good. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So we have taken terms, and it used to mean a blast meant something that went boom, like a gun. It wasn't going out and having a fun time. So we have used the same word for something that it does not mean. Everybody understand that? False doctrine people use scriptural terminology, but they change the meaning of it. Now, you say, well, they're sincere. You can be sincerely wrong. Just because you're sincere does not make you right. Just because someone is sincere doesn't mean that what they have to say is right. I deal with people all the time that are sincerely wrong. They sincerely believe if they live good enough, their good will outweigh their bad. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We all deserve hell because we're all sinners. Every one of us. Doesn't matter how much good you do, you're not good enough because you're not perfect. You have to be as good as Jesus Christ to get to heaven. Guess what? You lose. I lost a long time ago. No comments. Now, wait a minute. It's the only thing spiritual she said. Now, you're welcome. Can I tell you something? Just because somebody believes sincerely that if they're good enough, they can get there, doesn't mean they're going to get there. We all get saved one way, by trusting Jesus Christ and what he did, and that alone to take us to heaven, not our own works. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Tonight, all I want to do is show you what God says about being led by the Spirit. Now, you say, how are you going to do that? I'm going to use God's words. You know, America did a whole lot better as a nation when we used our Constitution as our basis. We wouldn't have a problem with immigration if we just followed the laws that are written in the Constitution. We've had politicians that say, well, we've got to, don't you feel sorry for these? Now we're pulling emotion into it. Well, it's our obligation. It's our moral obligation. It is not our moral obligation. We are not the moral police of the world. Everybody doing okay? It is not our job to feed the world. Every country has the wherewithal to feed themselves. Get off their lazy backsides and develop things. Now, I'm for helping people. Don't get me wrong. But if we just got back to the Constitution, you say, well, are you a Republican, a Democrat? No, I believe in just following what the Constitution says. Don't care what the letter behind the name is. Shoot, Donald Duck has a better chance than most. it's amazing. Hang on here. Ooh, they're about ready to take her grandmother off life support, I believe. So anyway, I don't normally do that, but I had a feeling I knew how bad it was. Now, so we have to understand God's word is just that, God's word. We are not to mess with that book right there. We're supposed to live it. We're supposed to preach it. We're supposed to learn it. We're not supposed to rewrite it to mean what we want it to mean. We're not supposed to have, as I've said recently, church isn't Burger King Christianity. It's have it your way. It's have it God's way. Now, let me give you three or four statements tonight, but hang on, don't put your shoes on yet. Number one, the term led by the Spirit is only used four times in the entire Bible. We read two of them, Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, in the same account. That term, led by the Spirit, is only used four times in the entire Bible. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'll show you the other two times. Romans chapter 8, we have entire denominations built based off of that one statement. I feel led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can I tell you something? If you read the verses prior to that, we won't take time to do so. It is in reference to knowing as a Christian who you are and that you are His. And when the Holy Spirit leads somebody, it's confirmation, it's affirmation that you are a child of God. When my dad called me the other day and needed help with my mom, it was confirmation that I was his son. Everybody understand that? He needed help. Hey, mom needs help. So I left and went and helped. Say, what is that all about? It's a matter of the fact that we are led. When we are led by the right spirit, it's proof that we are led by the Spirit of God. I've said this before. Because the Holy Spirit is God, He cannot lead you outside of His Word. He cannot lead you outside what that book says, or it's not the Holy Spirit. Because if He leads outside of what His Word is, then He's not God. Everybody doing okay? First, go to Galatians chapter 5. A few pages over. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 18. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 18. Brother Larry, if you could check the foyer for me. For some reason, I think I've heard the front doors, and I just want to make sure somebody knows that they can slide in or they should be here. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 18. But it is good to be zealously affected in always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you, and I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in chapter 4, sorry. Verse number 18, chapter 5. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now it's talking about being in the Spirit. It talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Folks, that you're not under law. Oh, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I think, I preached a sermon called You're Not Under Law, But It's Not Law and Grace. That law is not in reference to the Old Testament laws. Remember, there's three different laws of the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments were civil law. Ten Commandments had nothing to do with going to heaven. Zero. It was an act of government. It was a governing of the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And it was basically the same thing as the police department and our laws for our country today. That's why the laws were established. I was right. I did hear somebody. It's Wiley creeping in. It's the creeper. Now, everybody look at me for a second here. Sorry. In our world today, I got to be vigilant. You're going to have to put up with it with me. I hear everything and see most everything. So it is what it is. So the Ten Commandments were civil law. It's how man was to get along with man. That's why they were posted in America at the courthouse. It had nothing to do with going to heaven. Not one of the commandments has anything to do with going to heaven. Then you had the moral law. The moral laws were the health laws and different things like that, health regulations of the Old Testament. Then you had the Levitical law. Now, the Levitical law was that law by which the priests and the temple or tabernacle was to be established. Had nothing to do with going to heaven. It was picturing what Jesus would do. That's your sacrifices. That's the table of showbread. That's the furniture in the tabernacle and the different things. It's the Levitical priesthood. All of those things, by the way, when Jesus fulfilled it, that's why he said he established the church and not the temple. He did away with the temple. He said, I'll destroy the temple and raise it again in 3 days. The body, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not this temple. That's why the Bible talks about Jesus came of the priesthood. He was our high priest, but he didn't come of the Levitical priesthood. He came from Judah, a tribe which was not the priesthood. That's why we're not to continue in the priesthood of today. Jesus fulfilled it all. It was nailed. The Sabbaths and all those holy days and things, according to Colossians chapter 2, were nailed to the cross. He fulfilled them all and said, now let's take care of the church. Let's move forward with the church. So all four of these cases you have here about being led by the Spirit. May I say this? Not one emotion was involved with any of these four places. Not one time was somebody led by the Spirit to go do something weird. Not one time were they led by the Spirit to go do something that was a bit strange. It amazes me that how entire denominations and entire, and I'll use the word religions, are based off of that one statement, led by the Spirit, and it's only used four times in the Scripture. So, number two, not one place is emotion or feeling mentioned with being led by the Spirit. Can I tell you something? A few years ago, about 4 years ago, I preached an entire series on Wednesday nights about emotions, the emotions God gave us. We were created in the likeness of God. Did you know God has the same emotions you have? God made us in His image. We have the same emotions that God has. God just is not led by His emotions. God controls His emotions. The Bible says He gets angry. The Bible says that He has joy. The Bible says He laughs. The Bible says that he can be quenched. The Bible talks about all the different emotions. By the way, we were created in His likeness. So our emotions are not bad things. When we let our emotions control us, that's when we get in trouble. I used to have a little, I was a Christian school principal in three different schools and have overseen college administrations and different things. I used to have a little nameplate on my desk. It sat on top of my desk, and on the back of it, parents can be obnoxious. You know, if it weren't for parents, kids would be fine. I know it wasn't your kids, but my kids were that way for sure. But, you know, my kid would never do that. Right. I just heard you wailing on him in the bathroom, and you want to tell me your kid's perfect? Mm-mm. But I had a little sign on my desk on the back of my nameplate that said this: the only reason some people are still alive is it's illegal to kill them. And by the time I was ready to choke somebody, I'd look at that sign and smile. And they thought I was happy. They didn't know what I was thinking at the moment. But it was illegal, so I didn't do it. I did not show the emotion I wanted to show. There are times you have to control your emotion. The Holy Spirit doesn't take your emotions and make them go wacky and wonky. You turn on the TV station and watch the local, I call them charismaniac shows. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Your gizzard's healed. You don't have gout no more. All these things that nobody could ever see. You know, you say, "What? It's a freak show. It's not spiritual." You say, you're making fun of them. I'm not making fun of them. It's just not scriptural. You've all seen them, you know, the Ernest Angleys. The only guy I knew that could make a five-syllable word out of Jesus. Jesus. Goodness. Who's the guy? Oh, Oral Roberts, you know, the faith healer. Why in the world did Oral Roberts need a hospital? You have Oral Roberts Hospital in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If he was such a good faith healer, why did he need a hospital? And why did he die? If he could heal himself. Everybody doing all right? Man's religion has turned spiritual into emotion. We have likened spirituality to an emotion. I was talking to Jacob today. We've turned church into something that's spooky. We got to have dark things and spooky music to invoke the spirit. Well, I'm not sure which spirit they're invoking, but I'm not wanting to be around it. We got to have all these things so that it appears spiritual. I said this to Janet. Some churches are so dead, they got to have those things because they don't have the real spirit. Well, it's alive here. And it's not wild out of control. God is not the author of confusion. I'm not talking about laying in the floor and flipping and flopping like a holy roller. I've been around some of those folks. And that's just as bad as the, you know, stuff. Now, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit and emotion never come together in Scripture. The only quote-unquote emotion that goes with the Holy Spirit is the emotion of joy, and joy is not an emotion. Joy is an attitude. Most people think joy means gladness. I'm happy today. I'm happy today. Well, you can be happy today and sad tomorrow and still have joy on both days. Joy is an attitude I preached on recently. Joy is an attitude based off of as you go through difficulty and opposition and strain and hard times, it's the ability not to allow that to control your emotion. Joy is not, I am joyous today. That's gladness. It is not joy. So joy is the only, and I'll use that word loosely, emotion associated with the Holy Spirit. In other words, modern religion has turned the Holy Spirit into the Holy Soul, not the Holy Spirit. A man is body, soul, and spirit. Now watch this. Your body, that's this ugly hunk of flesh right here. The soul is that which is communicating with you right now. That's my feelings. That's my emotions. That's my ability to communicate person to person. The spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. Now watch this. Man has brought the Holy Spirit into becoming a holy soul, not a holy spirit. They relate to God and want God to come down to where man is and relate on man's level. God says, no, your spirit is dead. When you get born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And when you get saved, the spirit is reborn inside you. You now have the availability to communicate with God through the spirit. Spirit, the Holy Spirit is there to allow us to communicate with God, not communicate with each other. The soul is our emotions. It is our personality. Some of you have a pretty lousy soul. I mean, our soul is our emotions. It's our ability to communicate. And we have brought God or the Holy Spirit down to where virtually what the religious world talks about is a holy soul and not a holy spirit. The soul is how man communicates. In other words, pulling the Holy Spirit down into feelings is simply man trying to be equal with God. Did you feel the Spirit leading? Did you feel it? Guess what your feelings are? Their body and their soul. They're not spiritual. The preacher was preaching and I felt something quiver up my spine. Well, you could have done something in your chair and made you do that too, but it doesn't mean it was the Holy Spirit. Some of you getting that one by slow freight. Don't sneeze or cough, amen? Can I tell you something? Too many of us go by how we feel to make it spiritual. Oh, it just gave me shivers. Okay, that's a feeling. That's not spiritual. I hate to tell you, spirituality doesn't involve much emotion. Well, I just cried a bucket of tears, so God must have been involved. I've seen a lot of lost people cry a bucket of tears. Go to the funeral home tonight, you'll see a lot of tears. It doesn't mean it's spiritual. Go to the hospital and Hagerstown right now where the Barnes is headed, you might see some tears. It doesn't mean it's spiritual. Everybody doing okay? Feeling led, notice the statement, is fleshly. It's emotional. It's affecting your body or your emotions. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that God uses emotion to lead us. God does not use your emotions to lead you. That's how the devil tempted Eve. Eve, it's a fruit. It's beautiful. Beautiful to the eyes. Great to be desired. You could be like God. Wouldn't you like to be like God? You wouldn't need God to tell you what to do. You could be your own God. He was playing. He said, it's a tree to be desired. It's good for food. You'll enjoy it. He was talking about a physical and an emotional pleasure, not something spiritual. He used the spiritual to bring into it, to try to lure her into it. He said, you could be like God. Now we've had the trouble since then, since the first sin, of whether God is God or man is God. Biggest battle we have, do I trust me or do I trust God? God does not work with feelings. I hate to tell you, God doesn't work with your dreams. Doesn't work with visions. Doesn't work, I have a new revelation. That's the only revelation there is. So you don't think God works through dreams? No, according to the Bible, all that was taken care of when the Bible was completed. He no longer needed to do that. At one time, he did because the scriptures weren't complete. Once the scripture was complete, he said, follow that, you'll be okay. If you notice in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he was tempted by the devil, he answered the devil this way. Scripture says. He used the Bible to battle the devil. He didn't use, well, I feel led to say this. Or I have a new revelation. No, he was quoting things from the Old Testament and he said, Scripture says. Everybody doing okay? Now you're really going to get mad at me. Worshiping is feelings. The word worship means to love on God. It's to tell God how wonderful he is. It's buttering him up. It's not spiritual as much as it is emotionally loving on God. I challenge you. You won't find one place in that entire book from cover to cover where there was ever a public worship service. Not one. Look on the sign out front. It says Sunday morning church, not Sunday morning worship. You don't worship God in public. You worship God in private. I love my wife, but when I love her at home and we are by ourselves, it's a whole lot different than how I'm going to love her here. Anybody got that one? I'm trying to be appropriate. There are some things that aren't appropriate for us to express our love in public. That's what worship is. You say, are you against? I'm not against anybody. I'm just telling you there's no such thing as public worship. This is not a worship center. It's a church building. You worship in private. I love on my wife in private. I love on God in private. Everybody doing okay? Number three, and I got to hurry. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be obedient to God. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Now remember, there's only four times in the entire Bible Jesus or anybody where it says they were led by the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2, let's look at verse number 18. This is in reference to Jesus. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Look at chapter 4, verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are. What's the next several words? Yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of help of need. Now look at me. Jesus came to earth as God in the flesh. He didn't come to earth to be man. He was always the man part of the Godhead. Let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him. He's always been the man part of the Godhead. He put on flesh that could die. Jesus' body could not die because his body had no sin. Now watch this. But he had to be tempted to sin like you and I. Did you know that temptation is not sin? Yielding to temptation is sin. The temptation itself is not the sin. Participating because you were tempted is the sin. Now watch this. He was tempted to sin. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But guess what? He overcame the temptation. He understood what it meant to be tempted, and yet he did it without sinning because he did not give in to the temptation like we do. Now watch this. Jesus had to be tempted to sin so that he could prove that he was in human flesh. Do you know the only time that Jesus ever suffered was the last 3 hours on the cross when he took our sin upon him and he suffered our hell? Now watch this. That's when the sin came upon him. He took that body that could die and he died. God turned his back on God the Son. And he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he say it twice? Because it was God the Father and God the Holy Spirit that both turned their back on God the Son. He had no Holy Spirit to comfort him, to lead him. And he was there hanging with the sin of the world on him for 3 hours. But 3 days later and 3 nights later, up out of the grave, he arose. He conquered death for you and me because he was also God. He died as the Lamb. He resurrected as the high priest. And he placed his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven, in the tabernacle in heaven, at the throne of God. But he had to be tempted to sin. Who tempted him to sin? God? Turn to James chapter 1, just a few pages over. Hebrews, James chapter 1, look at verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God is not going to tempt you to do wrong. He doesn't test you to do wrong. Why would God want you to fail? God wants you to succeed. Us being led by the Spirit confirms that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 18. The two verses that we read a little while ago. Both of them confirm that you are a child of God when you are able to be led by the Spirit to get through the situation. God led us to buy this property. God led us to hire the people we hired to help us build this building. God led me to fight the county of Jefferson County. No. God led us to get to where we are, but we did it his way. It wasn't a feeling. It was, we need a place. There was nothing spooky. The lights didn't flash. God did not give me a vision in the middle of the night. That's called bad pizza before you go to bed. It wasn't that I woke up with this master plan that God presented in the night. No, we just need a piece of property. And said, God, you need to help us find a piece. And I had looked at property after property after property after property after property. Closest thing I found was just about a mile and a half away from here. And it was $100,000 an acre for 5 acres. We're going to spend $500,000 just on the ground. And I said, Lord, that ain't going to do it. And God used Mrs. Barnes driving by this piece of property to see the for sale sign that had been grown over. I thought, well, doesn't hurt to ask. And $89,000 later, we got the piece of property. All 4 acres. Now we're just waiting on the other guy to kick the bucket so we can get the 13 acres next door. No, I'm teasing. I don't want him to kick the bucket. Just help us get the 13 acres. Now, wait a minute. There was no feeling involved with it. If there was a feeling, it was more fear than anything on my part, let me tell you. Oh God, now what? And yet, we just kept following the leading of the Spirit. We kept obeying the Word of God. We kept seeing people come to church. We kept getting visitors to church. Kept seeing people get saved. Kept seeing people get baptized. Kept seeing people's lives get changed. And through that whole process, we kept obeying and God kept leading. The moment we quit obeying, He quits leading. He will not lead outside that book. That lady one day came to me. She said, Pastor, and she had several children and a husband. She said, when I was a teenager, I surrendered to go to the mission field, and I need to go to the mission field. I said, well, how's your husband feel about this? She said, oh, he doesn't want to go. I'm going to go without him. She said, I know that's what the Holy Spirit wants. I said, you show me in that book where it says that you're supposed to break your marriage vows to go back on a vow as a teenager. The moment you said, I do, I said, you then became under his authority, not yours. I said, you made a vow, but you foolishly didn't keep it before. You can't go back and keep that vow. I said, you would be violating far more scripture, leaving your husband and your children to so-called go do the will of God. I said, you got rocks in your head the size of a Mack truck. Don't do it. 14 she did listen. Others have not. Say, what? Well, I just feel led to go do this. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. You've had a bad week at work and you feel led to go buy a brand new car. That's not the leading of the Spirit. All right? It might be something you want, but that's not being led by the Spirit. Well, and maybe it's not a new car. Maybe it's just a new gun. That doesn't mean that you're being led by the Spirit. But it was a good deal. Just because it's a good deal doesn't mean the Holy Spirit was in it. Everybody doing all right? Man, I think I'm about to get in trouble. So, this emotionalism has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I just felt the leading of the Spirit. You get into the, Miss Kim, you know what I'm talking about. The black churches are real, real high on this. You got to feel the Spirit. You got to go till you feel it. Oh, my soul, I preach in a lot of black churches, especially down south. They'll pull preach out of you, but let me tell you, they want some emotion with it. If they're not crying and hollering and hooping and jumping up and down, it wasn't loud enough or hard enough. Believe me. Say why? Because they want to feel it. They want to feel the Spirit. Can I tell you something? You don't feel the Spirit, you obey the Spirit. It's not an emotional thing. Now, obedience sometimes brings emotion because you have to die to what you want sometimes. Or you see great things happen that you never thought would happen. Walk into this building the first time after all the battle we've been in, I've crumbled into a puddle of tears many a time. I put my key in that door this morning before 6 o'clock and I thought, I still can't believe. Tears run down my face. All those years battling, and now I got a key to a building. I'm sitting right where the trees were before. You're sitting about where Randy's sitting right now, is a big old rock pile. Trust me, I mean big old pile of rocks, right, Brother Larry? I watched them pull them rocks out of here. They had to bust them up, and they were still about 4 times the size of this pulpit. Man, there was a bunch of them. You say, I've been through every step, you know, for weeks at a time for the whole ram on the front end of that front end loader down there. Yeah. You get off that thing and your fillings in your teeth are going. I've done it. God bless those fellas. But we're here. Say why? Because we obeyed. It wasn't a feeling. It wasn't some vision. Sugar plums weren't dancing in my head. It wasn't some fairy tale. Ain't no fairy staying around this boy, trust me. Mm-mm. You wiggle when you walk, you're going to get carried out. We'll take you out back and take care of business real quick, amen? If you can't wear a pair of cowboy boots and walk right, something's wrong and we're going to take care of it. Just remember, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. He's not a sign giver. Oh, I'm praying for a sign. He gave you a sign. It's called the Bible. Just read it and obey it. You don't need a sign. You need obedience. When Dad asked me to take the trash out when I was a kid, I didn't say, well, I'm going to pray for a sign. He said, here's the sign. Mm-hmm. He had a little paddle, and it had a little statement on it. We won't talk about what it was. I never got to read it. I just had it imprinted in certain places of my anatomy. Whack! Ooh! I didn't need a sign whether I was to obey or not. The sign was obey. It's that simple. You see, God will use the scripture to show you through the Holy Spirit what you're to do. It's that simple. And as long as you line up with that, it's not wrong. Well, I want to know this is the exact car I'm supposed to buy. Did you know I don't think God has the color and the make and the model picked out of what car you're supposed to buy? If you can afford it financially and it's not going to take you into debt, it's not a wrong car for you to buy. Well, I'm praying for the exact one. How did you know that you didn't get the wrong one off the assembly line then? God does not pre-register everything. We're not little robots and he winds us up and we're minions that go around doing exactly what he wound us up to do. It doesn't work that way. Well, God's in control of everything. No, he's not. You think God's in control of these school shootings? I laugh at it. I'm sorry. I think it's tragic. But these are the very people that kicked God out of the schools. And then when it happens, they say, well, why did God allow that to happen? You're the ones that kicked him out. You got what you asked for. I hate to disappoint you. When you kick him out, why do you blame him that it happened? I gotta shut up. Being led by the Spirit 4 times. Don't get caught up into all this emotionalism of spirituality. It's not emotional. It's spiritual. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I hope through the scripture you learned a few things. Maybe you had to reprogram something. I don't know.